all by ourselves. Ever since the Lord moved in, He took His abode in our heart and our life. He promised us that He would not leave us nor forsake us, but He'll be with us all the way, even to the end of this world, and on home to be with Him. Amen? So today in the book of Luke, in the second chapter, starting at verse 1, reading down through and including verse 7, we've preached from this many times over the years, but never to the way that God has laid it upon my heart this morning. He says in verse 1, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, which is the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." And today, you can be seated in the house of the Lord. I'd like to use what I have underlined, even put an asterisk beside of in my Bible, for a text this morning entitled, "No Room." No room. And I thought this week that about this passage of Scripture and how that not much has changed over the years. They didn't have room for Him then, and many of our people today still don't have room for God in their life and in their heart. Many years ago, I delved into a deep study about this birth, and we see the pictures through the years or the way that it's depicted, and we miss so much about how our Savior was born. It was not in a beautiful place that He was born. In fact, the Bible says in the last verse that there was no room at the inn for Him. And in our studies, we found that more than likely, our Lord and Savior was born in a cave outside of the city of Bethlehem. It was a cave that where He was born at that was used to house the animals, the sheep and the goats and the ox and the ass, and all of those would use that as a place of refuge, a place to spend out up from the weather. And that place that we look at was a place that was full, no doubt, of animals that had to be driven out. A place that had manure and urine all over it and did not smell too good. It was a rocky place, and even Joseph probably had to use his coat, his tunic, for a bed for Mary. Maybe a rock was her pillow. There was no midwife that was there to deliver this precious child. But God made a way for this child to be born in a world that did not have room for him. Joseph was there, and I believe with all my heart today that, as the Scripture says and teaches us, not just here, but also in the book of Matthew, that Mary was a virgin, that God planted His Son in her womb, that she would be called the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She was a virgin, a young lady, and her and Joseph traveled many miles. Here she was, ready to be delivered at any time. But they traveled over to Bethlehem that they might fulfill the requirement to go and pay the taxes that was due. Every time that this event happened, people made room for others to come and dwell with them. When we think about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, going back to the book of Micah in the 5th chapter and the 2nd verse, the world was pre-warned that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Even though it was the smallest of all the cities, the Lord told them in Micah, he said there in the 5th chapter and the 2nd verse, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be the little amongst the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. God gave them the word. Bethlehem, get ready. A Savior is coming. A Savior is coming. They should have been prepared. The room should have been ready for him. They should have been looking for the Messiah to come. But instead of them looking and having a room prepared, they was not looking at all. And there was no room for him in the inn or in anybody's house. Instead, he had to go out and be born where the animals resided. It was not a place of beauty. We try to dress up Christmas. Christmas was not pretty. It was a sight that most people would say today that they would not want to be a part of because of the stench and because of the filth that was there. But you know, the Lord did not allow that to deter him from being born to save his people from their sins. When we look at this, and there was all this that was going on, I think in my own life, if we would have known that the Lord was going to be born in Bethlehem, doesn't it make sense that somebody would have had a room prepared and reserved just for him? And you say, but they what if he didn't come that year? They would have to get it ready for the next year and have that room ready for him. But instead, nobody had room. Nobody had room. According to customs of that time, there was much that took place during this taxing period. It was a time when families gathered together. Friends got together. Those that were from out of town, when they came into town, there was rooms that was made. In fact, it was customary and it was expected that when strangers came in from out of town, that there would be a room ready for them. You could go to your family or friends, and it was expected that they would have a place for you to gather. But there was too much gathering and celebrating, as we read in verse 3. When these families would get together, they would forget about what the prophet had told them. How many of our people today see Christmas just as a big event and forget what it's really all about? The Bible teaches us that no doubt they was worried about the money, because you remember they had to pay their taxes. And all the inns, it was a time for them to make money, Brother Charlie. All the inns were full. Every room was rented out. There was no place left. No place left at all, because of all the hustle and bustle that was going on in everybody's life. And here come this young man with his wife that was about to be delivered. And Jeff, everywhere they went, they was told, no room. No room. In today's world, we would see the sign that would be illuminated that would say, no vacancy. There's no room for him here. And how sad and how downhearted it must have been to Joseph and Mary. She was about to be to deliver the Savior of all the world, yet nobody had room for him. This morning, I don't know about you, but that just breaks my heart. That the kings of kings and Lord of lords, instead of having the best room in the town, was out there in that cave. Nobody around to witness the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Joseph had to deliver the Savior. He was there, and Mary was there, and that was all that was gathered together. Some of you might say, but Roger, what about the shepherds and the wise men? They were there. No. The shepherds didn't come until after the birth, when the angel of the Lord appeared unto them and told them about the great event. Help me preach this morning. See, everybody in town was too busy. But God knew there were some shepherds out there that would believe a report that there was a Messiah born in the city of David. And they didn't even question, how will we find it? Because you know the story. The Bible says that the star guided them to the place. On Wednesday night when we was up there at the nursing home, it thrilled my heart. One of my favorite Christmas songs is, "Oh, Beautiful Star of Bethlehem." You say, Roger, that's talking about the star that guided the wise men or the shepherds, and you could interpret it that way. But the most beautiful star of Bethlehem was out there in a cave. Mary holding him in her arms and looking down at his face. And Rachel, she probably sang that or made a statement to that song that you sing. He's got his father's eyes. And you say, did she have to look at Joseph? Joseph was not his father. God was the father. And I believe with all my heart, and I just want to share this with you today and I'll move on. Mary, I don't believe, had travail in that childbirth. I believe that God interceded, Sharon, and it was just a smooth childbirth to where there was no complications. How did Joseph and Mary even know what to do? Except God being with them. Amen? And I don't believe that she suffered the travail of childbirth, as you women know today. I don't believe she had to go through that. Because God, this was not just some child. This was the child that was being born. And all of this, when they should have had an entourage of people that was there, knowing that this could very well be, Brother Ray, this could be the one that we've heard about that's going to be born in Bethlehem. This could be the one that is the Savior of the world. But instead, the world looked at it and said, it's just another child. And many of them, even when she was back in their hometown, and maybe even some here, looked at them and said, this is another child that's born out of wedlock. They probably talked about Mary. But you know what the angel told Joseph? Don't be afraid to take her as your wife. This is not some other man's child that she's got inside of her. But this is the child of God that has come to earth. There was no room that was found. God had to wait. If you'll have it today, God had to wait until the virgin out of the house of David could bear this child. Mary was a special woman, but yet Mary was only the carrier of God's child. In fact, can I put this in and I'll move on? And this is something God laid on my heart this week, and it may shock some of you, and you may want to talk to me after church about it. But Jesus did not have any of Mary's DNA. You say, how can that be? because he was God's child planted in her womb. Amen? Some of y'all have to think about that one. It was God's child that Mary carried. She was a surrogate for God to carry his son and to deliver him, that he would become King of Kings and Lord of Lords and be the Savior to you and I. Not much has changed since then to today. We know that today God has told us in the book of Matthew and in the 24th chapter. He's told us that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming. You say, but let's get a room ready for him this time. He don't need a room. You say, well, he's coming. That means he's coming to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and establish his throne. Folks, let me preach to you this morning. He's already King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's already got a throne. Heaven is his throne and the earth is his footstool. He told us that he's coming. And he's coming again not to be born in a manger, not to be born or laid in a manger, not to be born and to be ridiculed and made fun of, but he's coming for all of those that are looking for his appearing. Let's not be like they was back then when they knew that he was coming, but nobody was looking for him. Let's get ready, church. Especially you that have never professed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. God is about to send his son back to this earth. And he's coming to gather his elect from the four winds of this earth and take us home to be with him for all eternity. But people still do not have room for God in their life. They still don't have room. They're not looking for him to come, nor are they making room in their busy lives for the Lord. There's too much entertainment going on. There's too much gathering and celebrating. And many people are celebrating something that they don't even know about. You say, well, everybody knows about Jesus and being born in over there in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. I'm not talking about a baby. I'm talking about a man who died on the cross of Calvary for your sins and mine. Just as Joseph, I believe that because he loved Mary, he probably had to do some house cleaning in that cave to make it presentable for her to even go in and give birth to that blessed son. Folks, you and I, our hearts need some cleaning done. And you and I cannot do it. It takes God and the Holy Spirit to come in and clean out our soul so that God can abide there. God won't abide in a dirty house. It's got to be a clean house. We make room for everything in this world except for God. And some of you may not even be able to say amen this morning. We've got folks, Becky and I was talking this morning, we've got folks today that are members of our church that have time and make room for everything else except for God. And Sister Mary, this morning as I was driving to church, God laid this upon my heart. If things continue going the way they are, there'll come a day when people will say, I sure miss that little church there on the corner of 32 and Fayette Drive. I sure miss that church. While it was here, they had no room. You say, Roger, are you telling us the church is going down? No, but look around us today. The only ones that are making room are those that have been through struggle after struggle. Been through heartache after heartache. and looked back, as the brother testified this morning, and seen it was God that brought them through it. And the more that we see what God has done for us, the more room we make in our life for Him. It's not a burden to go to church. It's a joy and a privilege to get to go to church and hear somebody sing about the Lord and hear a message that stirs our hearts and just invigorates us and gets us ready for what the world is going to throw at us. It's a shame that our young people and our middle-aged people and even some of our older people don't have room in their life for God. It's a shame. And can I preach it this morning that oftentimes before people start making room, some calamity happens that brings them to their knees. I wonder what is it going to take before our people start making room in their life for God and for the church. You know, when we was growing up, many of us, Brother Lloyd, it wasn't a question, are we going to church? We knew we was going to church. Because church was the center point of our whole life. Everything we had was vested in the church. Today, people don't mind getting together for Christmas gatherings, but don't mention the name of God. Don't mention the name of Jesus Christ or the Holy Spirit, because there's no room in that environment. I say we ought to be the ones that go and say Merry Christmas to everybody, because Jesus come and was born to die for your sins and for mine. It's not an Xmas day, it's a Christmas day. And how many of us today are thankful that we now have a leader that's not embarrassed or ashamed to go on national TV and radio and say, Merry Christmas, America? I hope we're starting to make room for him. But it seems like every time we clean out a corner, the devil comes around and fills it back up with something else. Lloyd made mention in Sunday school, many of our politicians, they're not worried about you nor anybody else. They're worried about filling their own pockets with what they can. Just turn the knob, brother. I'm not talking to those. He may need some help out there. One of your brothers, give him a hand there. Oh, you got it. All right. I'll get back to my message now. And when we do make room for God, we restrict how much room he has. Lord, you can come in my life, but don't venture over to this side too much. I don't mind going to church on Sunday morning, but God, you know I got to work on Monday. So don't expect me to be there on Sunday night or even on Wednesday night. It's just too much. But what do we do when we need God on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Oh, Lord, here I am. I need you. Sometimes I wonder why God don't look at us and say, but where was you when I showed up and wanted to be with you? You had no room with me. You didn't make time for me. We live in a world today that people will sacrifice and make time for everything that they want to do and find a time and a place to do it. And there's nothing wrong with a lot of those events and happenings in your life and in mine. But in all that we do, let's not take the time or the room that God needs in our life. We restrict him so much that It's a shame that most of our sister churches have quit having Wednesday night church. Totally. You know why? Because nobody had room for them. Nobody had room for God. And a lot of them are getting away from Sunday night services because they don't have room. You say, Roger, you don't understand how busy we are. How many of y'all are busy? Even you retirees, raise your hand, because many of you told me, I don't know how I had time to work. We fill every hour of every day. Yeah, something takes that space. You say, Roger, we work so hard. We need time to just mellow out. Let me tell you, our forefathers worked harder than we do. And they still had time for God and the church. They still had room for them. Let me close here this morning. Our soul only has room for one God. Many of us are trying to share that space with the world and with God. Where is your love at today? Where your love is where you'll make room. If you really love God, you'll make room for Him. Church, I say this to encourage people this morning. We've got young people that I have seen over the last months that have made room in their schedules. They block out Wednesday night and Sunday night. And even if they're running late, they still come into the house of the Lord because they want to be with God and God's people. And some of them even have to come in their work attire. And you say, don't they have time to go home and change? Let me just address that real quickly. Somebody that really has made room in their life for God, I don't care if they come in, the ladies wearing breeches. Now, some of you are going to fall out with me. I'd rather them be here in breeches than be out in the world with the things that the devil has. Amen? Some of you didn't say that too loud. Now, I believe we ought to dress appropriately. The world don't care how they dress. But when they make room and they come in, we ought not look at them strangely. We ought not say something harshly to them. You know what we really ought to say? I'm glad you made room in your life to magnify the name of Jesus Christ. As Joseph cleaned the cave for the Savior to be born, God, through the Holy Spirit, will come in and clean out our soul so that the Savior can move in. How many of you today, how many of us today will say, I need to make more room for God in my life. I need to make more room. How many of you agree with me this morning that God is the best thing that's ever happened to us? Amen? You that are lost, that's never received the Lord as your Savior. You know that your life, no matter how young or old you may be, you know in your heart that you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But He cannot come in until you open the door and allow Him to come in to your life. Many of us, Brother Eli, say He's the best thing that ever happened to us. But yet we see the restricted room that we allow Him to have in our life. I'm not much on entertainment. I'm not much on gatherings. I'm not much about this world. But what I am concerned about people that have just blocked God out completely. You're just like Bethlehem. You say, Roger, if I would have known that he was coming and I lived back then, I'd had a room ready for him. No, you would not. Because you would have been just like the rest of the world. In fact, when the Lord comes, there'll be many that will say, I tried to make room, but things just overwhelmed me. Time got away from me. The cares of this world come in and took over my whole life. It's sad that people wait until some catastrophic event happens in their life before they see that they need room in their heart and soul for Jesus Christ. People, in my closing remarks this morning, if there's anything that we need to get rid of in our life to make more room for God, we ought to do it. You say, you don't want us to have a good time or have fun or nothing. There is a time for all things. But put you first the kingdom of God and seek His will in your life. And then you'll find out there is room for God wants us to have a good time, does He not? How many of y'all enjoy life? How many of you have fun along the journey? Amen? And we still have room for God. The devil will tell you folks today that if you choose God in the church, that they'll just fill your whole life to where you have no time for anything else. Let me tell you, even if it did fill your life where you had no time for anything else, it would be the best life you could ask for. Brother Eli, how many of our people need to take inventory and get rid of things that has filled up the room of their heart and give it back to God? How many of you today will be open while Robin Sharon gets us a song and say, Lord, I want you to have my heart and my soul. I want you to move in. That even though I've not made room for you in the past, on this Sunday morning, I want you to move into my life and make me anew. I realize that the devil is trying to fill my soul with everything he can. Desires of this world, the desires of the flesh, and all the lust of the eye, and all the things that he is trying to put in my life. But God, I want you to come in. I want you to come in because I believe that you are the Savior of the world. And I believe that you're coming again. And I want to be ready when you come or when I leave this world. And folks, one of those two events is going to happen pretty soon. Yeah. How many of you believe that we're right at the edge of the Lord coming in the clouds of glory to get His church? And if He tarries another 20 or 30 years, let's go 30 years, as I look over this congregation, many of us will already be gone. But how many of you are ready if you have to leave? Amen? You're packed up and ready because you made room in your life for Jesus Christ to come in and make you anew. Today I ask you why we stand and they sing us a verse of a song. Do you have room in your life for the Lord? Do you have room today? Will you make room by stepping out and coming and receiving Him as your Savior? Sing on, Rob. Is there room in your house for God? Is there a place in your soul that needs to be cleaned up and prepared for the coming of the Lord? Then I ask you to come this morning. Young man or woman, mom or dad, don't wait. But while God has dealt with your heart, make this that day. Never more to roam. Yes. How much room do you have today? While they pause for just a minute, I want you to search your own heart. You know what I found is that anytime in a garage or in a house that has an extra room or something, if we're not careful, we'll fill it up with clutter. It's true, right, Wayne? We'll fill it up with clutter, and before you know it, that room is not even available anymore because you can't even walk through it. That's the way our soul is. It's a room that the devil just keeps putting stuff in and putting stuff in. And after a while, there's no room. Now, if you're saved, he can't get to your soul. But you know what he does? He steals away your time. He takes away your time. God knows your heart, but your time. If you don't have time, you know, doesn't matter what your heart is saying, the time has been removed. You say, but I try to go to church every time I can. It ought not be every time you can. It ought to be every time the doors are open. Rob and I were talking before church, and you know, some of us grew up when we had church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and Saturday night. Sunday afternoon, there was a broadcast. You say, you guys just had no time at all. Things still got done. The grass still got cut. The painting still got done. People made time for God. You know what the big excuse is now? God understands. God understands. But let me tell you, you're living a defeated life because you don't have enough room for God in your life. While we sing one last verse, I ask you, search out your own heart. Anybody at all this morning? Yes, listen to that. You wasted a lot of years. No room all that time. Yes. Come on home today. Make room for God in your life. Yes. Open wide thine arms. Several years ago, and I tell this story to emphasize the message this morning. Several years ago, I was at the hospital with a man that was dying. The man that I was visiting with was a millionaire. He was a legitimate millionaire. In fact, this man is one that helped to build this church financially. And he told me, he says, "The Lord has blessed me all my life." He said, "I used to go to church. I was saved." I used to go to church. And he said, "Now here I am at the end of my life. And all that I worked for doesn't mean that much. Doesn't mean that much." And I spent many a nights with him witnessing that he would come to know Jesus. He says, "I've been too long. I'm too old to ask God to save me. I've wasted all that time." And I kept telling him, "God will still save you if you will call upon him." And I left there early on a Sunday morning to come to church. And another preacher came in, and his wife told us that before he died, he finally found room to open up and ask God to save him. I share that with you today to emphasize the importance. You can fill your life with a lot of things, but in all that you fill it with, you better get God. You better get God. God bless you. Have you enjoyed being to the house of the Lord on this Sunday morning? Are you going to try to make more room for God in your life? Wait a minute. Are you going to try to make more room for God in your life? Amen. Amen. All right. Don't start next week. Start today. All right. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock, expecting God to move in a wonderful, wonderful way.